Well, in 1908, when I was 4 years old, so if you know your arithmetic, you know how old I am.
Where were your parents from?
My parents, my mother was Canadian, and my father was a Yankee.
Oh, really?
Yes, and we had lived on a farm, a big farm in Flat Rock. Mm-hmm. And then my father didn't care too much for farming, so we moved to Monroe. And the year after, I guess it was in 1910, they dedicated the Custer Monument, and I remember going.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
And there weren't too many cars in Monroe then.
Yeah.
There were lots of horses going all over the city.
Yeah. My teacher was talking about someone that had the first car. That must have been a long time ago.
Did it happen to be Mr. Greening? Now we.
Yes.
I rode in that car, I think.
Did you really?
Yes, because the Greening family lived next door to us. And I'll tell you a little story. Mrs. Greening had gone to Europe. Mm-hmm. And Mrs. Greening had brought back some beautiful material. And I had the dressmaker over, making up this beautiful material. And Ninetta Greening, who was quite a little bit older than I, she had been making us doll dresses. My little friend Katie Watkins lived in back of Greening's, and we lived at the side of them. So Ninetta had been making us doll dresses. And she'd run up to their sewing room to get some scraps that the dressmaker had left. Well, our doll dresses were beautiful, this beautiful satin. But when the dressmaker went to assemble the dress that she was making for Mrs. Greening, one sleeve was missing. And that was the sleeve that Ninetta had thought was a scrap and had made our doll dresses out of. And that was the day when they wore those big, big puff sleeves in 1908 and 1909. Mm. And so she just didn't have enough. To this day, I don't know how she finished the dress. Maybe she put some knit sleeves in it or something. But
you said you used to live over here on Macomb?
We lived on Macomb. Mm-hmm. Right next to where Vern Snyder lives now.
Yeah. I heard someone told me that Hollywood used to be a cattle drive.
That was where we had horses and cows and chickens and rabbits when we lived over there in the old brick. Mm-hmm. And there was a lane went back of our house. And we would go back to Hollywood Drive, and that was just like a cow lane. It was Crook's Lane, I think. Mm-hmm. And we'd take the cows back there. Then, where Fern Court is now, that was our property, and Papa put in that street and named it after my sister Fern.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There was something that he said. Oh, they talked about the little brown bear house, is it?
Yes. Now, the little brown bear house, when we lived at my, when I, after I married, my husband was a druggist in Rockwood.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved to Rockwood, or I moved to Rockwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very familiar with Rockwood because my sister, my older sister and her husband had a grocery store there, and our little drugstore was right opposite the grocery store. So we moved to Rockwood. I lived in Rockwood, and during the, I guess it was the Second World War, I worked at the drugstore because help was hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mac and I usually would eat up at Diamonds in Flat Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, one noon, when we were hurrying up to get our lunch, I noticed this little house that I hadn't seen before along the side of the road between Rockwood and Flat Rock. And it looked to me like a child's playhouse, although it was good size. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that Woods lived in the big house. Mm-hmm. So when Johnny Wood came in the store one day, I said, "Johnny, what's that little house that's by your big place?" Well, he said, "That's a playhouse that I used to play in when I was a little boy." But I said, "It wasn't always there. I would have noticed it." He said, "No, it was in Rockwood where the Riverside Hospital is, and it belonged to his uncle. So he and his cousins used to play in it." And he said, it's all made of hardwood. It's beautifully made," he said. "And, oh, I just thought if I could have that playhouse." Our property ran down to the river. And I said, "I don't suppose you'd ever sell it." He said, "No." He said, "There are too many memories tied up in that little house. I don't think I'd ever sell it." Well, I knew Johnny was a bachelor. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, you don't have any children to play in it." And he said, "No, but," he said, "my father and I are going to use it for a little office." I said, I don't know what made me say it, but I said, "Johnny, if you ever do want to sell it, will you tell us?" And he said, "I sure will." So that very winter, Mrs. Wood died. His mother died in Florida. So Johnny said they didn't want to go back to Florida the next winter, him and his father, and they were going to California. So they went to California, and Mr. Wood died out there. Well, then Johnny didn't want to come back to Rockwood. He wanted to stay out there. Mm-hmm. So he remembered that I'd asked about buying the little house. In fact, when he said, "Well, you don't have a family. Why do you want a little house?" And I said, "I think I would like to make a book house on it." I said, "I'd like to move it down on the river back of our place and just have children's books in it," because there was no children's library in Rockwood then. Mm-hmm. "And just let the children come and read and enjoy it and maybe play in it." Mm-hmm. So Johnny remembered that. Well, when they knew Johnny was going to sell his property in Rockwood, he said he had about 50 offers from fishermen and from hunters that wanted to move the little house down on the lake because they knew how well it was built. And he said he didn't want it used for that. So he called my husband long distance from California and said, "Mac, are you still interested in buying that little house?" And Mac said, "I sure am." And it was coming near Christmas. So my dear husband bought it for me for Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
And we had it moved. And then Johnny gave me the history of it. Mm-hmm. And he said it had been built around the turn of the century, which makes it about 78 years old now. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Woods, his uncle, had a friend of his who was really a famous architect, a Mr. Keyes, and had him design it. And he had an old shipbuilder from Trenton build it. And he had imported most of the wood. It's all, I can't remember what the woodwork is, what kind of wood. Johnny did tell me. But it was all, and it has hardwood floors, and it was built, and you notice, if you see it at the fair, mm-hmm. it does not show any that the weather has ever done anything to the siding. It was locked German siding, so that the weather couldn't, the rain and the wind, and mm-hmm. couldn't get under the, where the things go, you know. Mm-hmm. Locked German siding, I did remember that. And it had a fireplace in it, which they had, when they moved it from Trenton, they had to take the fireplace out. Mm-hmm. But of course, the fair board had put it in again, so mm-hmm. or else the campfire, I guess the campfire was responsible for putting it in. So that was the history of the little playhouse. And when we had it out at the farm, I think the most number of visitors that I kept track of one summer, starting in May, it was usually, there wasn't any heat out there. Mm-hmm. So around the 1st of May, we tried to clean it and open it for visitors. And there were 500 children
in one summer
that visited.
Wow.
And the most interesting, I think, were the little crippled children from Ypsilanti that came in a big truck with
really?
Their wheelchairs.
Oh.
And they had a ramp so that they wheel their chairs down.
Oh my gosh.
And they stayed and brought their lunch and had a lunch out in the yard.
You must have felt so good.
Well, it made me happy to see them so happy. They loved it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the different schools mm-hmm. and the Sunday school, our Sunday school children used to have a, when they had their picnic in the summer, they had picnic out there.
And well, why did you name the house the Little Brown Bear House?
Because I had started writing the stories I wrote
That's
for
right.
a magazine.
Yeah.
Were little brown bear stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, I had it, people had given me different size bears, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had the books out there. Mm-hmm. So it just, we just called it the Little Brown Bear House instead of the book house.
Yeah. Now, little kids, last summer I was a day camp instructor at the Y.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, well, little kids just must be little kids. Have they changed at all?
Now I'll tell you yes. For instance, one of the changes that almost brings tears to my eyes,
ooh.
The little girls that live across the street and the little girl that lives next to me go down to the Kresge's and pay $2 and $3 for a doll dress for their Barbie dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And what we used to do in the summer, in the winter we used to sit around the fireplace and sew doll dresses. But in the summer, we had big maple trees over in the yard on Macomb Street. And our greatest joy, Mama would give us scraps. She had a scrap bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we ever got a sleeve like like Ninetta did, beautiful material. But we had scraps. And we had our own little scissors and our little needle cases. And out under the trees we'd go, and we'd sit by the hour in the summer when it was too warm to play tag or anything, you know. And we just liked it. And we would dress our dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much joy in doing it. And we'd build where the trees, where the roots come out,
mm-hmm.
we would have different rooms. Well, then we'd make little furniture
uh-huh.
out of twigs. Now they go down to Kresge's and buy all this plastic furniture.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't think of making anything.
Yeah.
And there was so much joy, and it cultivated your creative
yes.
part of nature, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we would think of things. We would some of the trees would be like churches, and our dolls would go to church, and we'd have them all dressed up. And it was so much fun. And now they buy the dresses and dress their dolls, and I guess they play with them. But it's not like the olden days. And the toys, the children will come, you know, 79 cents, 89 cents for a little toy. And Mama used to make us pinwheels with, you cut a square.
Yeah, and then folded over.
And she'd make us pinwheels, and Papa would make us kites.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, on Sunday afternoons, I remember my mother, my mother was a genius, just natural, cutting paper things. She could cut like strings of dancers and unfold them. Oh, she was just a genius. She would cut without ever marking anything, she would fold paper and cut furniture that the little tables would stand up and the little chairs would stand
really?
Up. Yes, really. She usually cut them out of stationery because that was just the right weight.
Uh-huh.
And she, of a Sunday afternoon, she put some books down and put a glass over it, like a window pane.
Mm-hmm.
Then she would cut these paper dolls out of tissue paper, sometimes colored and sometimes white. They went under the glass, and she took Grandpa's white silk handkerchief, and she rubbed the glass, and the dolls would stand up, like, and move.
Wow.
And I've tried to do it, but the reason I think I can't do it is you don't get much pure silk anymore.
Oh.
It's all rayon or acetate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it doesn't make enough electricity to draw
that up, yeah.
Draw it up. Then, what other... of course, at Halloween time, we made tic-tac-toes on the window. But we made so many things.
Yeah.
And I know my oldest brother was in college then, and I had my favorite teddy bear. This was before we moved to Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
And he had come home, and he made a pair of overalls for my teddy bear. It just seemed everyone did more things with their hands.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of buying everything.
Buying everything.
Now you'd say, well, if your teddy bear wants a pair of overalls, we'll go down to Kresge's and find him one.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of doing that. And we'd give shows. Lots of shows. Our old parlor had sliding doors.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, having 9 children, she didn't try to, she said she'd rather have us home where she knew where we were than running around. So consequently, we could even use the parlor for our stage.
Wow.
And we could use the piano. And one time during the war, First World War, we were going to give a benefit show for the Red Cross.
Yeah.
So we practiced and we practiced, and finally we had it in shape. I did most of the bossing, I think, because I was a little bit old. I wasn't older, but I felt I had more experience, I guess. I was naturally like to act. So I sort of bossed it, but we had it all ready. And we got our tickets out. We printed our own tickets with a old printing set, you know, a toy printing set. We did get some ready-made toys. And I had the tickets, so we had them going all over town. Do you want a ticket? It was, I think it was 5 cents for adults and 2 cents for children, I'm sure. It wasn't more than 5 cents. We sold scads of tickets because it was for the benefit of the Red Cross.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had these long windows with lace curtains in the parlor,
mm-hmm.
and that was the stage. So it came time, I think we were going to start the show like at 7 o'clock. These people started trooping up our front walk, and my mother went to the curtain and parted the curtains, and she said, "Children, you're never going to have enough chairs. Get some more chairs." So we brought in more chairs. All right. They filled the living room. That would be right on the stage because the living room and the parlor connect.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened the doors, and here were this living room was filled. Then the dining room was almost filled.
Oh,
then the
God.
Kitchen was almost filled. So we had to give 3 performances.
Really?
We gave the first performance, and the people that were in the living room could see it. Well, they filed out the front door. The people from the dining room moved up to the living room. We gave another performance. Then the people from the dining room moved out, and the people from the kitchen moved in.
Oh, gosh, that many people.
And then we proudly took our money down to the... You see, when we sold the tickets, like we sold them way over on 3rd Street and 4th Street and all over, we didn't expect they'd come. We thought they'd just buy the tickets
for the Red Cross.
But I think they were curious. And it was war times, and there wasn't too much activity and not too much social activity.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was limited, of course. So
What was your show of?
One was a mystery, the mystery of the black diamond. And this woman had, we'd do it, it was a little like that acting school where they, it's different. It's in New York.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we'd give them the idea, and then they could say, they didn't have to learn their lines. And so they were quite thrilling. But there was one almost tragedy. My father had it was either a red maple, or we had beautiful, those things that come out in the spring, and they're so beautiful, the trees, magnolia. We had several magnolia trees that Papa liked, because at one time he'd been in the nursery business. And then we had this red maple. And my friend Rachel was a little daring, and she had gotten a white horse someplace and gone up and down the street on a white horse wearing red stockings advertising the show. Maybe that's why so many people came. And she was going to put a big billboard to, it had an arrow pointing up to our house, you know, this way. Mm-hmm. And she got a big nail and a big hammer, and she drove the nail through the trunk of this prized tree. So it fortunately didn't kill the tree, but I think it made it pretty sick.
Oh, it must have upset your father.
Yes.
Another thing Mr. DeBruza talked about was the piers. Do you remember
the piers? All right. I think it was a nickel for children. It wasn't more than a dime for anyone. We'd go down to Elm Avenue, mm-hmm. and the Piers car would come along.
Was it a street car?
A street car, yeah. But it was open.
So oh. Mm-hmm.
There weren't any windows to go up and down, as I remember. So we'd go down to the Piers, and we'd pack a lunch. When we got a certain place, I think it was Johnson's Island, if the wind was in the right direction, in came this black swarm of fish flies.
Oh,
and they covered you.
Are those like June bugs or something?
Yes. And then we'd get down to the piers, and at one time they had merry-go-rounds and everything down there.
Yeah.
And I just faintly remember it. But there was always the Lotus Hotel. Mm-hmm. And then there was the old lighthouse, and then there was the yacht club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the yacht club, going out to the yacht club, was a big wooden pier, went way out there. And I remember going, but we didn't belong to the yacht club, so I had to be invited to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I remember were the stands and the buying ice cream cones. And one day and Cracker Jack. They sold Cracker Jack out there. And one day in school, Ralphie Peters had a fountain pen, a little fountain pen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was red. And, I thought it was the most beautiful thing. And he wrote with it. And I said, Ralph, where did you get the fountain pen? And he said, I got it in Cracker Jack out to the piers. Well, now, I wasn't very fond of Cracker Jack, and I didn't ever spend my nickels on Cracker Jack because I didn't like it. My mother used to make real candied popcorn at home.
You know,
Cracker Jack was like that, only not so
good.
Dry, no.
Mm.
So I didn't spend my nickels on that. But I thought if I could only have a red plastic, it wasn't plastic, it was like celluloid, a red celluloid fountain pen. So I stuck every nickel I could get a hold of. I'd buy a box of Cracker Jack when we went out to the piers. And I would open it, and there would be a little tin horn or a ring or something that I didn't want.
Mm.
But I didn't ever get, and years afterwards, I guess I was almost in high school, I still had the memories of trying to get that red pen, and he confessed that his uncle was in the automobile business in Toledo, and it was a advertising
pen. Oh, no.
He had this, so all my nickels had gone to waste.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And my mother, she showed me this picture of my grandparents standing. She said it was at the pier, so you couldn't see anything but trees and grass.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, it must have been a really nice place.
Oh, it was fun going to the piers. And when I was a senior, I think, was the last run.
Well, what happened?
They just didn't think it paid. People were had more automobiles, and they were going to parks.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they just thought it didn't, that the piers didn't pay. But if they had only kept it, just think what a moneymaker it would have been. Because people go for everything kind of Victorian now, you know, and mm-hmm. and it'd be such a, golly, they could charge $1 a ticket, I think, and
yeah,
go down.
It'd be easy. So nice, I bet.
Yeah. It was really fun.
My one brother lives on Lake Erie.
Yeah.
He rents a house out there, and I just love to go out there and sit. The lake's so pretty. You said before you have 9 kids in your family?
There were 9 in our family, yeah. 7 girls and 2 boys.
Really?
I still have a brother. I have my two brothers are living.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest brother's 91.
Mm.
He lives in Birmingham, Michigan. And my other brother lives here. He's 82.
Yeah. You must have some. Like, I have 8 kids in our family. And it's just so nice. There's always someone to play with, you know?
Yeah.
When we were littler, so that must have been great with that many. Gosh, anymore now, that would be so hard.
Aren't so big, no.
Yeah. I feel sorry for some kids that there's just one, you
when
know.
There's just one, that's true.
Yeah. Do you remember many things from like World War I and World War II?
Like
did you
World
have to
War One. I remember, of course, I remember when the armistice was signed.
Oh.
And school was out. And they were shooting guns and everything. It was exciting.
Yeah.
And I remember then the girls. I remember how the people dressed. I remember the girls were older girls, not my age, because I was in the 7th grade. But they wore georgette blouses,
mm-hmm.
and then they had crocheted camisoles, and the crocheting was fancy.
Mm.
And of course the idea was that you'd see all this beautiful crocheting through the georgette blouses. Then there's, in the summer, they wore, as I remember, white duck skirts that kind of flared. Well then, after the war, I remember the skirts getting so short. I don't think it was during the war. It seems to me they still wore long skirts. But after the war, like when I was going in high school, they started bobbing their hair.
Mm.
And before that, I knew one person in Monroe that had bobbed hair. And that was Cook's hired girl. And she had had her hair bobbed. Her hair was short because she'd had a fever.
Mm.
But you didn't bob your hair. You didn't think of bobbing your hair.
Really?
Until I was in high school and everyone was getting their hair cut.
Mm. That must have been really weird. Like, the fashions must have changed a lot.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, my mom was showing us pictures. We were just looking at them last night. And, like, her mother and my mom, you know, and she'd say, look, this is the dress that was in style then.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd laugh.
Uh-huh.
Like,
oh,
some
yeah.
of them looked really
you
scary.
Can't imagine. You know what's funny? Now, you can't imagine the things we're wearing now to ever be dated, that you would laugh at them and say, well, how could you go around in slacks like that, you
know? Yeah.
And,
Well, there's these dresses out now that's supposed to be the, you know, top fashion that are called peasant dresses, you know? And Mom said, she goes, boy, that's what we wore in high school.
Yes, brindle skirts and, the one, now like going before the First World War,
mm-hmm.
About 1910 or 11, when we moved over on North Macomb Street, we had lived next to Greenies on South Macomb.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved over to North Macomb in the old brick, the women were wearing hobble skirts, and they couldn't take a good-sized step. And Mrs. Cook had died, and the funerals were held in the homes then.
Mm-hmm.
So Mama said, we couldn't go out in the yard. We saw all these carriages drive up, you know. But we could sit up on the porch. Our house was way back from the road.
Mm-hmm.
So we, my two sisters and I, the youngest one, sat up on the porch. And I remember watching this one lady getting out of a carriage. And she couldn't step down to get on the walk. And the man who was driving the carriage had to get down and help her down. Because their skirts, it was just like their legs were wrapped with...
Yeah, the real straight skirts,
yes.
You mean? Yeah.
And I think they had high heels then.
Yeah.
And then they wore these huge hats, big picture hats. You didn't go any place. Oh, you'd be horrified. I can remember one of my sisters-in-law from Buffalo came to see us, and this was only about 40 years ago. And she was a free soul. She did as she pleased. And she was going to church with me. The church was right across the street in Rockwell from us. And she said, it's too warm. I'm not wearing a hat. And I was so ashamed. I said, Lily, you've got to wear a hat to church. Well, I certainly don't.
Mm.
I can do it. It's no sin not to wear a hat.
Mm.
And but people just didn't go to church without hat and gloves.
Yeah. My mom, she's got some old hats that we used to wear for Halloween and
yeah.
stuff. But, you know, big hats.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, it must have been really great because
yes.
I like hats.
Yes, I do too.
Mm.
I still wear a hat to church.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, from World War II, were there blackouts in Monroe or anything?
What I remember about that, of course, we were living in Rockland.
Oh,
then.
Yeah.
And, yes, we had to put our lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, one thing I remember, they organized, they recruited all these people in Rockwood, and we had to take turns going up in the tower. I don't know if they had built the tower. Oh, it was the tower and the fire building on the firehouse. And we had to take turns and watch for planes.
Oh, really?
And then report. There were phones there, and we had to report. I think it might have been a Lansing number. It might have been into the capital, state capital.
Mm.
And it might have been an airport. I just don't remember. But I know I was always terrified because I couldn't spot. You were supposed to describe the planes that were going over.
Oh.
And I couldn't tell one plane from another. In fact, I could hardly tell the planes from the blackbirds because I'd see this swarm, not swarm of birds, whatever, flock of birds going over it one time, and I thought it was a plane. I didn't report it, but I came darn near it.
Yeah, birds. Did you go to many movies when you were little?
Well, the movie I remember was the Old Family Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first, when the, what we called the New Family. I remember the Old Family where you went for a nickel. And I remember the old Reaper Theater on Front Street that had a horn and the music could come out to attract the people. And the little boys used to stand on the corner and throw stones and fill the horn up with stones. And then the music didn't come out, and Mr. Reaper would come out madder in the dickens because he had to get someone to climb up and get the stones out of the horn. But I remember going to that movie, and I remember then they had a new movie, new Reaper Theater across the street. And one time they advertised that Marie Dressler was going to be there in person. Well, oh, we kids, if we could see a real movie star, I guess we thought she looked like someone from outer space or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to the movie. It was Saturday afternoon, and I think we paid either, I think the kids were a nickel. It wasn't more than a dime anyway to go to the movie. And we sat through this terrible picture that we didn't even understand just to see Marie Dressler. Well, then Mr. Reaper came out and bowed on the stage and he said he was very sorry, But Miss Dressler's train had been late, and she'd gone right through Monroe. See, it was going to be a whistle stop. She was going to have time to get over to the theater and make an appearance and get back on the train. Mm-hmm. And the train was late, and she was due for a performance in Detroit, and the train had gone. She couldn't appear. So he said, if you want your money back, line up at the box office. So we lined up and got our 10 cents back, but we didn't see Marie Dressler. Then I remember when the family theater, where the old place burned down, or next to it was the old, mm-hmm. it was the old family, but then it was a new family. And this was right after the war, because I was in the seventh grade, right after the First World War, or else the year after, I don't know. Anyway, the first show, and it was 10 cents to go still, and it was Mary Pickford in Rebecca Sunnybrook Farm.
Oh. Wow.
And we got out of school and went, paid our dime and went in. And that was a beautiful theater. Oh, it was supposed to be one of the most modern theaters in Michigan. And they had a fireplace upstairs in the little lounge.
Wow.
I remember that. And
it seemed really nice.
We'd see the Perils of Pauline and
yeah.
all those. Then I remember the first talkie, but I didn't see the first talkie in Monroe. I saw it in Detroit. I went with my sister.
What was it?
It was, I think, it was The Sidewalks of New York. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. The very first talkie. It was something about New York. Then I remember, of course, when the Monroe Theater opened, that was grand, and we'd go there, but you paid more after. I think maybe it would be a quarter.
Yeah.
And then when it was up to a dollar, that was unheard of.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you remember, like, how much money it was for? Like, my mom could say she went somewhere or got something for 10 cents an hour, you know, a dollar and a half. Yeah. Do you remember the money, you know, the price of things?
Well, yeah. Now, one thing I was, there was an old store here called Beers Department Store.
Mm-hmm.
And we kids wanted to buy Mama something there, and they had glassware and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought her an orange bowl. Orange glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was 10 or 15 cents. It may have been a quarter, because I remember gathering the money up, my older sister did, to take it to buy this. And I saw one in identical in a antique store later. And I think it was $35.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought if my foresight was as good as my hindsight, I could have probably been a millionaire
yeah.
if I'd bought up. And we used to go to Mitchell's store and buy dolls for a quarter that opened and closed their eyes.
Really?
For 25 cents.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful dolls. And, of course, I remember going to the grocery store and when cookies, like, were maybe 29 cents a pound or so. And we'd go to the little corner grocery, and there was the grocery man was, he liked to use big words, and he always treated us as if we were grown up, and he would say, what could I do for you, Miss Upham? And I said, my mother wanted me to buy a pound of cookies. And they had a big rack with all these different boxes of cookies on. They weren't packaged, they were in.
Just
in boxes, mm-hmm. yes. And, so I was standing in front of the cookie rack, and he came over and he pointed to some. He said, "Might I suggest these? They're nutritious as well as delicious." So I felt real grown up. He always made us feel grown up.
Yeah. My history teacher said that like some presidents came to Monroe?
Yes, I saw President when they dedicated the Custer Monument. That was in, I think that was in 1910, because it was the year that we moved. That was the year I had a ride in Greening's car.
Mm-hmm.
And it was President Taft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's who he said came. He also said there used to be only one road that was paved. Can you remember that?
I can't remember which road, but I remember when they paved Macomb Street because I got stuck in the mud and lost and left my shoe in the mud.
You left your shoe in the mud. Oh, geez.
When they were paving it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when we had cows and we delivered milk.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we had a little wagon and we'd deliver milk.
You really did?
Uh-huh, right down Noble.
Did you go, like, door to door?
Well, we had our customers. And Mama would make her milk tickets. Mama was very, even with 9 children, she was so particular about everything. And she'd get a sheet of celluloid at Meyer's Bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
And she would measure it and mark it off with an ink pen and make these tickets. And some of them put 1 quart on and 1 pint.
Mm-hmm.
Then she'd sell like a dollar's worth of tickets, maybe. So we would deliver the milk and they would give us the ticket instead of giving us the money. Then the children didn't have to account for all the money.
Yeah.
And they'd just buy a dollar's worth of tickets from Mama.
Yeah, that was nice. Did you enjoy doing that?
Yes, it was fun. There was this one place on Noble, they had a little terrier dog, and he bit me once in the heel, and I was afraid to go there. But
yeah. Well, I can't think of anything else to ask.
Well, I suppose it maybe it's been a half hour, hasn't it?
Yes, I think so. So we'll stop.